Blog Talk Radio.
2015. Veronica Barragan here. Down the rabbit hole. What are you doing? Who are you?
I am Alexander Berrigan, Mom. Who are you?
I'm your mom, and I'm Veronica Berrigan. I like to sometimes I say Berrigan, and then I sometimes say Barragan.
Yeah.
Which one do you like better, like with like Barragan? Does that sound like powerful?
If I was true to my heritage, I'd probably say it that way, but I say Berrigan most of the time.
So you can't roll the R's? Is that what you're telling me?
I can't.
So what you're telling me
is that you're from
parents that are Mexican and that you don't know how to roll your R's. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you, Mom.
Maybe it's something that you should put as a goal or as a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Resolutions. Oh, my God. We've been gone for like 2 weeks, I think. Hasn't it? It's crazy. We looked up at our episodes, and this is the 13th episode. This is the 13th episode. And it's the first one of 2015, what humans call 2015, which we want to talk about a little bit. But the crazy stuff is that I don't remember, like, all those weeks going by and all the cool shows we did because it felt like it was, like, really fun, you know? And now I looked and I was like, 13th? Wow, and first one for 2015. Yes, we did take a break. And it was a well-deserved break for me because I focus fully and completely, well, not fully, but my priority was my family. You know, for me, the holidays are very special. And now, this year is the first year where my family has really been spread around, you know, like all over California and all in here. And so we had to do some trips and I had the best time. Created really awesome memories, and I really didn't worry about anything, and it sucks to get back to, like, damn it, and I gotta go do this and that. Like, I just want to party every day and be with my family and cook great food and, you know, and enjoy the traditions and all that stuff. I mean, were you ready to go back to school?
honestly, no, I was not. I was enjoying my time. I was in the moment during my break. I was during my free, actually, yeah, I am ready now. I've beginning, I was kind of worried. I mean, nervous. I mean, now I'm settled in.
Yeah, you had to mentalize yourself.
Yeah.
I'm still back and forth. I'm sick, and I hate it when people say I'm sick because of the weather or because of that. Because I've been in back and forth traveling in the last month, and it's not because of that. It really, the reason I get sick is either stress. Well, number one is always stress, but also lack of sleep. You know, I had this thing where I would always get, like, throat bumps. It was horrible, like, infection in my throat. But any time that I wanted to get better, instead of taking meds, what I would do is just get more sleep. And I would get better. I promise you, within 2 days, I was 100% better. So I really do believe that, you know, when you get sick, I think your body is just trying to tell you, hey, chill out. You know, you've been a party animal. You need more sleep. You need to, although you love your family and you enjoy every part of them, and you enjoy traveling and you enjoy taking care of business because it's been a really exciting time of reinventing. You know, take it easy, girl. You know, a lot of the times we feel that it's only when we're out doing things, but a lot of the times, you know, the work is because of all the mind chatter. Like, if you have so much stuff going on, there's a lot of changes going on in my life, a lot of good changes and a lot of growth. And a lot of big vision thinking, which is really exciting. But I'm the type of person that the mind doesn't shut down. Like in the middle of the night, I'm so excited sometimes that I don't sleep.
You always have those multi-tabs going on with your little brain?
I do. And you know what's crazy is that if I don't put action behind it, that's what paralyzes me. Because then I'm just like, I always have this thing that kind of is self-sabotaging. But I start thinking right away, well, if there's no action, then you're just all talk. So if you have all these big dreams, but yet you're not putting, I want to be like the person that says that, oh, I'll sit in meditation and it'll just come to me and all of that stuff. But I think society has taught us, like, you've got to work for it. You've got to, so it's ingrained in my brain. So I'm trying to read up on things so that not only am I better able to understand myself and my true purpose and my passions of what I want to do in this world, but also so that I can understand how to let things flow and how to let my natural self just kind of shine instead of faking it and doing things that I absolutely hate.
Yeah.
But, you know, the only way you can do that is if you get really clear on who you are and what you want in this life. Because if you don't, then you're kind of just walking around like a blind person, just kind of, you know, doing the everyday thing to to pretty much, because that's what you're accustomed to. And I've never been like that. Even as a little kid, I was just very, very a scurvy elephant, what Wayne Dyer calls a disturbing element, just because I wanted other things that I feel like sometimes I can't relate to a lot of people, because I'm just like, I've started so young with life, I believe, you know, becoming a very young mother at 16 with your daddy by my side and all that. So I've kind of like had to really evolve very quickly, you know?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think that society, especially here in America, is, I mean, are we really what they say? Are we fast-paced compared to others? I mean, they always say the Westerners, that's all they worry about, you know, the fast pace. I mean, remember when we went to New York and how crazy fast that was, and people were just kind of focused on their stuff. And
We always seem to be focusing on what's next, not like the New Year's goals and resolutions where, oh, I'm going to be working out. I'm going to start working out now. I'm going to start changing my lifestyle, my health, become healthy now. We always look into the stuff that's later, not being the present moment completely. That's what matters. I tweeted, 2015 is going to be a great and positive year. And that was a broad statement. Life is going to be a roller coaster. Two recently crazy things happened, but it's going to be a part of us, and it's going to be in the end. It's going to be for our side, for we can learn to put these old thoughts aside. You've seen on the news what's recently happened, right?
Like, what are you referring to?
There's two major awful tragedies that currently happen: the bombing, the car bombing in Yemen, and then also
I don't know about that one. Tell me about that one.
It's interesting. There's not a lot of been focus on it. There's not a lot of attention on it. Majority of it is what happened in Paris. And I honestly don't know much of that about it, but it's just like correct. Like I said, 2015 is going to be filled with progress and positivity. And I guess these things that happen are, I don't know, possibly might be part of the progress, because we're seeing we've been through this and we're just, it's too old already. It's like, why is this continuing to happen? Why are people so angry to do this to fellow brothers and sisters? Yes. So,
I was going to say a couple of things. Two things is, I don't believe in all the BS about, you know, resolutions. I heard somewhere that like 80% of resolutions, or something, I don't want to quote, but it's a huge number, are like broken by the time like January 15th rolls around. And you were listening to that other podcast of Duncan, what was his name?
Duncan Trussell.
And I love the way he says, Duncan Trussell says that, you know, people are so like focused on new resolutions that they try to fix themselves and they forget about all the other cool things about them, which I really agree in. And I, in my life, you know, shifts happen to me sporadically. Sometimes I don't even like plan them. It's just, that's what I call a miracle. Remember we talked about that? Mm-hmm. So it's just a shift of perception. And I don't wait for like the clock, the calendar to change to 2015 to convert my life. However, I feel like that I do believe in collective energy, and I feel that when that clock does tick over to 2015, especially if you had a rough year, you're able to say, hey, I'm going to put that behind me, like nothing ever happened, and I'm just going to, you know, start all over, and this is what I'm going to do. And then the people try to fix themselves. So there is this collective energy, I feel, of hope. So you could feel it in the air, even in the holiday season. You could feel that people are actually working more towards together. You know, you see a lot of more people even begging for money, like they make it into a freaking business because more people are compassionate during those times. So there is this collective energy that does help. And I'm not saying that all resolutions are broken, because I think some people actually do accomplish and they use the years to do that. But I don't wait for that to happen. You know, I've been going through in my own personal evolution forever. And I do look at 2014, though, as I try to look back, and I saw it as a year for me. See, when 2014 rolled in, I turned 33. And 33 to me, and you know I'm all about the numbers, right?
Yes, you're very into numerology.
He's always making fun of me because every time I look at the clock, it's either like 222, 555, 333, you know, and there's actually, every time I look at that, you can Google and say, what is the meaning of this? So, of course, you get, like, angel like readings, and it says this and that. You guys can laugh, whatever. That's what I do. I think that some people are not present enough to even care that 222 is even there, or 1111 and all that stuff. So to me, I take them as signals to stop what I'm doing and to take just a few seconds and to breathe and to pretty much pray for a little bit and meditate on peace or whatever I want to do. And these numbers to me mean a lot. So 33 to me, that was the year where Jesus Christ was crucified. And also he came back to life and rebirth. It was a complete rebirth for Jesus Christ. And I'm not about religion, you know that. I'm about ascended masters. And
Christ is an awesome human being.
He was an awesome human being, and he still is. He's still in our hearts. So I'm not, but particularly that story came to me, and I always thought of Christmas as that. It was, or I was thinking it was more like the birth of the new you, and then the new year came, and then you kind of were able to kind of shed that. So for me, 2014 was like, oh, I'm going to, it's my rebirth. And I can tell you, 2014, I'm sorry, I can tell you that I really felt that I have never grown so much in 2014. And I've been seeing so many people that have gone through some pretty miraculous awakenings, transformation. I think so many people have been humbled through suffering of either losing family members, losing wealth, losing things that they really, material things, you know, things that they really were attached to, and that suffering caused them to awaken. So maybe it's just because that was me too, and I was awakening, and I was like, no longer will I stand for a mediocre life, and I'm ready to be who I truly am and find out who I truly am, which is why I got into yoga and all that stuff. But that's what the years kind of do for you. And so I don't want to summarize 2014 because for me, I feel like it's been my whole lifetime. You know, I'm here now who I am because of what's happened in 33 years, you know, and not because of what happened just in 2014. Does that make sense?
Yeah, your personality is constantly growing. It's everlasting. Then, so you I don't even know, man.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, for the people to think that a year is going to completely change them is kind of crazy. You know, it you know, you should want that change.
And you don't necessarily always need change. You should have acceptance of who you are right now. Who are you right now in the now is your most powerful self. Because you're being inside of the now.
I agree with you 1,000,000%, and I'll tell you what happened to me, which was coincidental with the new year. On December 30th, I did a meditation, and all I did was sit in a quiet in my backyard. And I just, I've been reading this book called The Akashic Records, remember, that you can actually read. So I believe in reincarnation and all of that stuff. And you can read, you know, what's going on in your life through meditation and all of that. So I sat there, and the only question that I asked is, who is Veronica Barragan? And I wanted to know who that was. And I received so many messages, and I saw so much clarity, and I just thought, why not accept who I am? This is who I am in this lifetime. Why not accept who I am? Because I think what happens with suffering is that you don't accept yourself. You don't accept yourself. You want to change yourself, like you just said. You want to, you know, be a better person, you know, be this and that. That's a bunch of BS, all those resolutions. It takes progress and time, and sometimes it's not overnight. You know, I know that from being married for how many years I've been married? I can't even keep track of them. But, you know, it's 17 years, sorry, because your daddy's going to get mad if I don't remember. But, you know, it's not a thing that happens overnight. It's a progress. And and some people are more anal where they track it and stuff. I'm more open-minded because what I've learned, especially this year, is to really let go and also let the magic happen. Okay. I have a vision of who I want to be and who I think I am. I'm looking at my vision board right now here in our studio and down the rabbit hole studios because as I was working today, I wanted this vision board in front of my face so I knew what my why was. So even the things I didn't want to do today, I was like, this is worth it. You know, this is worth it. God, you want me to put some action behind this so that you could see? I don't have to prove anything to God because God just knows, but this is how I felt like when I had to do stuff that I didn't want to do business-wise. And until I could get to the goal where I'm manifesting everything on my vision board, because I truly believe in vision boards. I mean, I spent like 4 or 5 hours on this thing so they could be exactly the way I wanted it. and it's going to manifest. And I've seen it happen because I'm looking at it every single day. But there was nothing about changing Veronica. It was more of acceptance of who I was and who I've discovered to be. So I think the most important thing, if you really want to have transformation and change, is to sit down in a quiet place and figure out who you are. If you don't know who you are, then how are you going to even know what changes to make?
Yeah, I currently don't know who I am. I know sort of, but I need to go through a lot more, like, meditation, like you said, more isolation. Oh, I'm trying to book myself the isolation thing, and I can't really refer to something that I haven't tried before, but you guys should definitely look it up and just explore it, and if make it a new year.
So you have to tell them what an isolation tank. So yeah, this is what's funny about my beautiful son Alexander. We asked him what he wanted for Christmas. And the things they were on his Christmas that were very interesting. He wanted a retreat with Ram Dass.
Relax.
He wanted to isolation tank. You got to tell him what an isolation tank is, because I am so blessed. I just want to say right now that I am so blessed to have a son that introduces me to stuff. Like right now, I'm going to tell you guys the craziest story about how this book came back into our lives that has completely transformed my whole thought system. But you've got to tell them first what an isolation tank is. And they offer them here in Arizona, and I'm sure they offer them all over the world, especially in California, all over the place, how you learned about it and what the hell it is, because I'm going with you, and you know that. And then you tell me, Mom, everything I do, you want to do.
Did say that. Calm down.
So all what right. is it?
So I've learned from the all-powerful Joe Rogan. No.
Joe Rogan. The all-powerful Joe Rogan.
And what they are exactly is it's a pretty much like a solid tank. It's invited by Lily, John Lily, I believe his first name is.
Invented?
Yeah. Then so it's like a tank where it's a metal tank and it surrounds you with water, with salt water, and that water is the same temperature. It's used a complete dark little, like, tank isolation. I call it isolation tank, flotation tank, different names for it. And what you do in it is you pretty much do nothing. It's like high-tech meditation, pretty much. You just sit in there. Since everything's black and the water is the same temperature as yourself, and you're just floating in there, so you don't have any sensors. So you're completely, everything's completely cut off. It's just your little consciousness floating in this universe, and you're pretty much detached from everything external. It's just you and your mind. It's complete self-analyzation, self-realization, it's pretty powerful.
So you're going to book yourself for next week, right?
I have a cut right now, so the solid would steam me, so once that heal, I'll go.
Yeah, but that was your Christmas present, pretty much, so we're going to schedule you in, and of course I'm coming with, because can we get on the same isolation tank together?
No.
Come on, imagine the power of that. It's like you going back into my womb.
It's
it's like you're going to be like back in there. Can you imagine that? You know,
right,
my sister's pregnant, and I've been pregnant twice, right, with you and Damien. And now I look at Penny, and I look at my sister, and I'm like, there's a baby in you. I can't take it. Like, it feels like this miraculous, like, I can't take it. You know, the cutest thing in the world was that her big sister, Elise, was, like, on her stomach the other day, and then Penny kicked her, the baby, inside the stomach. And Elise is like, Mom, Penny kicked me. I was like, I can't believe it's already happening, and she's not even out of there yet. But that's such a miracle.
You know, that's an interesting analogy. Maybe that's what's exactly that's happening when you're inside your mom's stomach. You're in an isolation tank. You're all your sensories are deprived, and you're one in your little consciousness at the time, and just growing.
Wow, that's powerful. So if we go in together, then you'll be back in the womb.
I never thought.
That would be cool. Oh my God, Ali, we have to try this. No, okay, we'll do separate ones. You get your own, I get my own. So I do want to try it, and I thank you for always introducing me to this stuff. By the way, this is the kind of conversation we have every minute of the day, pretty much. You know, it's just see him. He kind of really makes me step outside my comfort zone. Right now, he's
you make me step outside my comfort zone.
How so?
the amount of anxiety sometimes, like back in some
the
couple
first
podcasts. Oh my! I just have like a mental breakdown during the podcast, and now I'm like.
But now you're a pro.
Not a pro. I am definitely far from a pro.
You are you. You don't even have to be a pro. You know what's funny that you said that? I just found this little review thing from Toastmasters, and I told you about this. All of you guys out there, do yourself a favor and join a Toastmasters club. They're like, I think it's like $13 a year. It depends on the club. Some of them are like even cheaper, but it's basically it's a speaking organization that helps you become a better speaker and a leader. And you know that I went to this dedicatedly once a week for 3 years back in 2000.
I remember those days.
I didn't care. There was like a speech contest and I was like, I'll do it, you know. If you don't step outside your comfort zone and if you don't do things that scare you, then you're going to be living fear all the time. You know, I've been much more aware of my thoughts and of my fears, and I've especially through this book, the Bhagavad Gita, I've been able to really try to understand myself and to understand my fears and to see how silly they are. You know, so many of us have all this talent and the shine and the words that human beings need to hear out there, and we don't do them. Why? Because we don't say them. Why? Because we're scared of what people will think of us. And number two, we don't even have the full confidence in ourselves. So I think, like you said, don't say that you don't know yourself, because you do know yourself to a point, but it's never ending. It's called evolution. If you did know already fully yourself, you would be self-realized. And then there's people that do that. I mean, Jesus Christ and, you know, Gandhi was. He was a very enlightened man. There's so many great leaders that just walked it. And there's people that have never even been known that have completely, like, awakened to the truth of who we are, which I feel like is my path right now. But trying to figure that out, because I said I know myself and I did with that meditation, but there's still much more to learn. And this is what's crazy. The ego, the darkness, you know, even if you're on this path, I study every morning. I study A Course in Miracles, the Tao Te Ching, and now Bhagavad Gita in the morning, every single morning. And it takes me quite some time, you know. And yet, all of a sudden, I could have the worst moment of anger. I could, like, be so angry at someone. I could yell at somebody, you know.
You know what that is? It's just being human.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just the traits of our, back in those reptilian days.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about knowing yourself, too. You just know yourself more as time goes. You mean, I didn't, believe me, the thoughts I have now, and I've said it before, are not the thoughts that I used to have 10 years ago.
It's powerful, just as long as you catch those thoughts and realize what you're saying, and you see that in you.
Yeah, well, that's the power of awareness. When you're actually aware of what the heck, you're not awareness of what she's doing or what he did or what, that's not you. I learned something powerful today. Yesterday I was judging someone really bad. I was, because I was thinking that they're a very selfish person, because they transfer their pain onto someone else that is older, is can't really fend for herself, you know?
Yeah.
And this person with her pain, who is younger, like, just transfers that pain to this other person who can barely handle herself and is just trying to live peaceful life, you know? And I was like, I can't believe you are like that. Like, so mad, you know? I wanted to just go save this other person from this person. And then I listened to, which all of you guys, this is the book that Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, I can't even say it right. It's from Krishna, from the Krishna teaching. And it's basically a 700-verse Hindu scripture. And one of the two major ones. There's another one called Ramayana. But this is the one that I'm
at. Isn't it based off, like, the whole series, like, the whole story?
Yes, there's stories. So this is what I love the most.
In the literature.
What I love the most is that all my life, I've read Christianity books, even the Buddhist books that teach you about accepting suffering and all that stuff. This book slapped me in the face, because it's a story, and it's a beautiful story. They're verses of basically Krishna with Arjuna. It's like
Prince
Arjuna. And it's awesome, because it really depicts the fight of a human, the fight between the ego and your true self, the fight of the things that sometimes you've got to do that you think you shouldn't do, but that, you know, Krishna, which is God, is calling you to do. We'll do a whole episode on this, but the one thing that I want to say about this that changed my perspective is that Krishna is God, right? And he comes into form and to help Arjuna with a huge war and a battle, which represents him battling his family to gain back the power over his kingdom. And that's the outside view. But the real interior deep stuff is that it's the war between Arjuna and his mind and what's going on in here. So there is no war outside of us. There's only a war within each of us. And that's what I always was so baffled by. Like, there is nobody out there anymore that fights me. It's me. How do I love me? How do I take care of me? You know, how do I enter this war with peace? And Krishna, what I love the most is the way they describe Krishna. It's a beautiful God, fun, loving. Used to play music. Everybody wanted to be around him because he was a good ass time. You know, just that's the way I see him. And I never saw that before. You know, growing up Catholic, I always thought God was this guy with the beard and just, you know, that judged us and that said, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. And I don't have that concept of God anymore through all the teachings of the different ascended masters. And believe me, this is probably the hardest scripture that I've ever read in my life, ever in my life. And it came, you know what's funny? That your dad, he introduced my two favorite people that I follow, Deepak Chopra, and now this, the Bhagavad Gita, it's so hard to say. He's the one that bought me these books, and I wasn't ready to see them. He bought them for me years ago, and Deepak years ago, and then I finally picked it up. This one, and now I finally picked it up because I was ready. I was ready to know. So if anything, if we're talking about years and anything, you know, and goals and all that drama, I just want to read a couple of verses and try to even understand. I can't tell you enough about this book. It's something that you need to experience. It's like experience. That's what I learned. It's not about knowing about God. It's about experiencing God.
Doing God, yeah.
Experiencing. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I know you have the book as well. You actually bought it before I knew that I had a copy in my garage.
It was crazy. I bought
How
the book.
How did that happen?
The next day that you find that one, it's pretty interesting. It's weird.
Yeah, so he buys the book at Barnes and Noble, and he buys it, and then
Myra,
thank you, Myra, shout out. She buys it for him, and then we're like, yeah, that's so cool. So there's different versions of reading it, you know, people that make it easier for you to read and all that stuff. But
different translations.
Translations and all that stuff. But let me tell you, I'm ready to, I guess I'm ready to, I've been at the war already. So what I learned is that I've been at the war. I already entered that war. And because I entered that war and I became a devotee of God, which is God is me, then all of a sudden all these doors open. Mm-hmm. And I said that, guys, that is down the rabbit hole, because that's what I believe. And we will do a whole show just on this, so that we will not try to preach it, because I can't explain it to you all. You know, I can only tell you my experience with it. And I will not try to preach it, because there's no way I can.
You can only truly experience it yourself.
So goals and resolutions in the end, you think they're just a bunch of BS, or what do you think?
Man, I guess they could be helpful, but then, and just believe that you're perfect as you are now and be in the present moment now. Stop looking into forward. Stop trying to be something that
you're not.
Exactly.
That's wise words, because
not wise.
In the end.
It's not wise. It's coming from a 16-year-old. It's not wise.
It's very wise. You know what? That is your ego right there telling you that you are not. You are. He doesn't understand how fabulous he is.
Calm down.
I know who I am, and I know who all of us are, and I see you, and I see me, and I see a God, and I see all of us around us, and I see a God. And, you know, if anything, the only thing I want to do is stop judging. Just let people be and love them all for who they are. And I think that's what Gandhi wanted. Gandhi was the one that wanted all this peace. So welcome to 2015, guys. We hope it's the best year of your life.
Happy 2015.
And down the rabbit hole, we'll be back next Thursday.
Peace, guys.
Peace out. Peace, 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 and pray for peace.